John Corson says, and I think it's very thought-provoking, he said that this was the last miracle that Jesus performed on the earth, and it's the one that he most frequently performs still. And that is covering the evidence of the impulsive sins of his out-of-control people. It wasn't just that he had compassion on poor kid. He's trying to run away for Pete's sake. Give him back his ear. Jesus, but see, that's not the whole thing. That would always been evidence of how foolish Peter was. Jesus ever covered the evidence of your sin? Nobody really knows except you and him and maybe one or two people. I know he's done that for me. Can I ask you a question? If that's the way Jesus is, then why do we want to expose other people's sins? If we're that way, whose spirit are we really of? Churches are famous for this. I've had other pastors call me and ask for dirt on the people who left our church and are going to their church. And I've hung up on them. I'm sorry. I'll apologize if I see them in heaven. But that stinks. I am so grateful. I mean, the Bible's got all kinds of things that talk about God covering our sin. He just asks us to be honest with him about it. If it involves somebody else, you might have to. In fact, you should talk to that other person. But it doesn't have to go beyond that. Lots of people, when they first started coming here, wanted to tell me all their sins. And I thought, number one, you don't have to do that to be here. And I don't want to tell you all my sins. I think a lot of them are recorded, by the way, on CD. So if you really want to know, they're out there, but not all of them. I just love this. I don't know why Dr. Luke says it's a little ear. It's not little. The Greek word speaks of insignificant. Maybe that's the point. Yes, mighty Peter, man of valor. He's going to have stained glass windows all over the world with his picture on him and his sword. Yeah, he protected Jesus in the moment of crisis. He got an ear, a pathetic ear. It wasn't even the high priest's ear. It was a servant's ear. A powerless, insignificant individual suffered the consequences of Peter's foolishness. Been there, done that. And I just love, back to Mark 14, I just love verse 48 where Jesus gives this whole crowd control speech. You can almost see the gesture saying, calm down. Use your brains. Guys, 600 guys come to arrest one guy. Am I leading a rebellion? Do these guys look like they're a danger to the Roman Empire? My best swordsman couldn't even get the whole head, just got an ear. And besides that, every single day I was in broad daylight. I was on your turf, the temple precincts. You could have arrested me then. Think. What are you doing? Can I tell you from experience once again what the devil is up to? The devil doesn't want you to think. He wants you to react emotionally. And especially if it's dark. Because light and rational thinking would prevent a lot of the horrible things that have been done in Jesus' name, wouldn't they? John adds in verse 18 that right after the events of what Mark says, verse 48 and 49, Jesus gives this speech and essentially tries to control the crowd. Jesus said in John 18, "Let these guys go." How pathetic that every single one of the disciples had one time had said, they swore, "We'll never desert you." And the most pathetic verse in this whole passage is verse 50, where it says, "Then everybody deserted him and fled." Was that the end for them and Jesus? No. In fact, Jesus was the one that told them they were all going to desert. It wasn't even a shock to him. I love that verse, those verses you read, Sue. They're not only some of my favorite, most comforting verses, but in my notes today, in this whole passage, I wrote down this: Jesus knows our weaknesses better than we do. So anytime he has anything to say about his strength and our weakness, he knows what he's talking about. How many times have you done all the right things and expected that everything was going to work out wonderful? And when it didn't, your whole world was crushed. And when one of the clearest principles in all of Scripture is you can't make anything happen in the spiritual arena. God has to do that. It's not by might, nor by power, nor by How to Raise a Godly Family in an Evil World books, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is out of the arena of our influence, all of those important spiritual things. So God isn't shocked when we fail, and all our methods and our schemes and our efforts don't go out the way that we want. He's not shocked by that. And it's not the end of the story. He says this to me all the time. There are people out there I'm really worried about. They made bad choices. They left. They wouldn't even talk to me. I still love them. Like you said, Mary, this morning, their faces and their names come to my mind all the time, and I pray for them. And he said, "Son, I'm watching them. This is the journey that they're on. You have no control. You never did. When they were going to your church, you didn't have any control. They were still in my hands. They're my people. Some of them are going to do stupid things. Some of them are going to hurt themselves and others. It doesn't have to be the end of the story." So if you're praying, pray for them to come back. Pray for them to press into Jesus and not starve themselves, and don't stop caring, but do not take the weight on your own shoulders, because it'll kill you. He knows where they are. And of course, then all he has to do is remind me of my journey. I mean, people I love more than anybody on the face of the earth are in this position right now, and I grieve over them, and I used to lose sleep. I'm not losing sleep over it, because what good does that do? I just talk to the one who can do what needs to be done. I talk to him about them. And he reminds me, you know, a lot of people thought you were out there, Bob, and you were never coming back. And look where you are. Crazy in love with Jesus, trying to help other people be crazy in love with Jesus. You know what? When we think it's all over, Max Lucado said, to paraphrase Yogi Berra, "It ain't over till God says it's over." I don't know. That's comforting to me. And all of the people that's comforting to said amen. Mark tells the little story of the poor, pathetic young man following the crowd, ran out, heard there was Jesus was being arrested, ran, just, you know, grabbed the nearest thing, wrapped himself in a garment, and then when he ran away, somebody grabbed the garment. It's kind of humorous, unless it was you. Now, granted, Mark didn't say it was him, but he's the only one that covers this event. So how does he know? Tradition says that it was him. I don't know. But I've been there. I've been the guy that was so pathetically unprepared that I couldn't help. What are you going to do? Whip him with your sheet? You know, at least Peter had a sword, you know, wrong weapon, but, you know, he put up a good show anyway. I've been that pathetic person that was so unprepared, and I weenied out anyway. So, was that the end for Mark? By the way, Mark, if you want to look at Scripture, all the events, if this is Mark, Mark was famous for weenying out at critical moments. Remember in the book of Acts? But that wasn't the end of the story. Read the end of the story and you'll see, you know what? It took him a while. It took him a few episodes of caving into his flesh. But eventually, Paul wrote to Barnabas and said, send Mark because he's been a great help to me. I find hope in all of those kinds of stories in the Bible. Do I have time? No, I'll do this next week, but I will read you my five steps to Peter's downfall because two of them are in this passage, verse 53. Excuse me, they're all in verse 54. Peter followed at a distance and then warmed himself at the enemy's fire. Let me read these five steps and we'll talk about them next week when we see the actual failure. Step number one, you'll find it in verse 31 of this chapter. Peter didn't think he was weak. He overestimated his devotion, overestimated his strength. He didn't think he was weak. Jesus told him he was. But he didn't believe Jesus because he personally didn't think he was weak. Step number one to his downfall. Step number two is found in verse 37 of this passage. He did not follow Jesus' counsel to stay alert and to pray. And of course, if you don't think you're weak and Jesus tells you you need to be at Bible study, you need to be praying. You need to be pressing into Jesus, not cruising. If we don't think we're weak, we don't pay attention to that advice either, do we? This is one of my panic subjects when I see people and I know what's coming. And there are 500 reasons not to feed themselves. And I see them drifting away, and they're not pressing into Jesus and their trouble. The trouble's drawing them away from Jesus. And our enemy is a predator. He looks for the people. He looks for the wildebeest that's wandering away from the herd. He's not dumb. We're the dumb ones. So Peter didn't think he was weak, and because he didn't think he was weak, even when Jesus told him, he needed to be pressing in and alert and praying and staying in contact. He didn't do it. And Jesus said to him, you know, spirit's willing. I know you're willing, Peter. Your flesh is weak and you just don't think so. Step number three to Peter's downfall was that under pressure, he reacted purely in the flesh. We saw that in verses 47 where he grabs the sword and cuts off the ear. Was that a spiritual act? Was it courageous? Maybe. I mean, give him credit. Maybe it was courageous, but it was courageously disobedient, and it was foolish, and it was fleshly. And the fourth step to Peter's downfall is found here in verse 45. He followed at a distance. That's a really bad idea in the midst of a battle, to follow at a distance. See people do it all the time. Oh yeah, I still believe in Jesus. Well, I haven't seen you for months. Oh, you know, I still believe. And some of those very same people, they're on their lips. Their family's wiped out. They're back into substance abuse or something else, and it breaks my heart. And once again, I've played that same game in my life. You don't do that if you think you're weak. You don't do that if Jesus has warned you. And the fifth thing is, he found himself warming himself at the enemy's fire. What does that mean? That means, instead of with Jesus, close, pressed in, finding your emotional needs met with Jesus, suddenly you find yourself finding your needs met by his enemies. Well, they understand me. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Oh, well, I go to the bars and I hang out here because these people understand me. And I think, doesn't Jesus understand you? Better than anyone, he does. Church people may not, but I'm not a Christian because of church people. So, we'll look at that next week. Five steps to a downfall, and it came just as surely as Jesus said it would. By the way, it was not the end of Peter's story either. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for how much like Peter's story my story is. How kind you've been. Thank you for the way you treated Judas. That still boggles my mind, that you think that way. Lord, I pray that we would glean everything we need to out of this passage. I pray that we would have hearts like yours for those that are falling or have fallen. I pray that we pay attention to your warnings so we're spared needless grief in our own lives. I just love the way you are. I just love it, and I want to be just like you. I'm not. It's hard for me, but it's easy for you. So, Lord, I just know where the battle lies. The battle lies in me giving in to you and letting your strength be made perfect where I'm weak. And I'm weaker than I think I am. So, Lord, we come as your people. We're no better than Peter. If we had a sword, we'd have done some of the very same things. You have spent many years covering up the impulsive sins of your own people. It's not just Peter. So thank you, Lord, for the heart that you have. You're so merciful. You're so gentle. Keep us close to your heart, Lord. That is my prayer. Lord, I pray for those that are wandering out there. They have no idea the danger they're in. Of my brothers and sisters, I pray, bring them back to yourself, please, Lord. Even if they don't come here, just bring them back to you where they're safe. That's my prayer. Amen.